what I shared at the beginning. It begins with God, and God is eternal, and He loves you. Okay? Would you look up here, please? Yeah. It begins with God, and He's eternal, and He loves you. Why don't you tell your person sitting next to you and tell that, okay? He loves you. Can you do that? Yeah. Go ahead. It's not an easy thing to say. Maybe you'll be able to say it once, but for you to be able to say it repeatedly and you mean it, it's not an easy thing to say, okay? That God loves you. It really is not an easy thing to say, one reason or another. And I want to ask you a question. If you could just answer this question. And who is your people? Who would you consider is your people? I don't know why you are looking all down. Look, if you could look up here, I would appreciate that. Who would you consider is your people? Do you have your people? And there is a reason I'm asking this question right now. Do you have your people? And my question to you is, are you faithful to them? The reason I'm asking this question is because God has His people and He is faithful. Okay? And today I want to introduce someone we know well and really look at that from that point of view. Paul, Apostle Paul that is, okay? He is faithful to his people. If you recall what happened in chapter 16, we're reading chapter 17, it was the Jews, his people, who ganged up on him and always jealous toward Paul and tried to kill him. Okay? He imprisoned him, accused him, not a small thing, small charges, but usually a treason. Okay? Which means if you're convicted of this, you're put to death. You're done. Okay? It was his people who stoned him to death in Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, right? And yet, you see again and again and again and again, Paul goes to the Jews, his own people, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't make sense to me, right? These are the people who are resisting, and these are the people who are nasty. These are the people who are not faithful. These are the people who are jealous of him. But he goes back again and again and again. If you have a time, read Romans chapter 9 or Romans chapter 11. His heart for his own people. And he said, Lord, take my life. Take my life away and save my people. That sounds like God, doesn't it? But my question to you is, who is your people? I'm not saying it has to be the ethnic Korean or Chinese or Afro-American has to be your people, but do you have your people? And are you faithful to them? Okay? Today, title is Paul Reasoned with the people, the Jews, with the scripture. Okay, that's the title. And the verse that I want to begin with is this, okay? 2 Timothy, which is Paul's writing, his last writing at the end of his life and career toward his son, whom he loved so much, to Timothy. Okay? Listen to this word. Okay? It says, for God gave us spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control or a sound mind. God does not give you a spirit of fear, timidity. The word is timidity. Cowardice. Are you courageous or are you kind of like scared? Right? God does not give the spirit of cowardice or timidity or fear, but give us power and love and sound mind. That's just the way it is. If you are Christian and walking with the Lord, God gives the spirit of power and love and sound mind. That's what God does. Opposite extreme is you're always fearful. And love, agapao, that's God's love. That's everything, brothers and sisters. God's love and Spirit's power, that's everything. And then you will have self-control, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and sound mind. I just want to quote John MacArthur, okay? John MacArthur, no one will ever influence the world for Christ who lacks courage. It is the courageous people who makes a difference. I don't want to just stay here. Okay, I just want to stay here. I don't think we could just take out the word for Christ here. I think we could just take it out. No one will make any influence. No one will ever influence anyone without courage. And Spirit of God gives courage. He doesn't make you timid and shrink and be self-absorbed and focused, but of power, dunamis, and love, agapao, and self-control. Brothers and sisters, don't you desire that? Just grow old, right? So, yeah, I want to begin with this, introduction. Okay, again, Jonathan Edwards, we saw this many weeks ago. As we continue to speak about the scripture, scripture is historically solid. You know, a lot of people say, how do you know? But a lot of people who are skeptics don't even look into this stuff. Let alone maybe never read the book once. It's just not fair. Paul reasoned with people. You're not being reasonable. If you never read it and try to be a skeptic, just doesn't make sense to you, let alone you're taking a great chance upon what the scripture is claiming, which is your eternity, right? So Jonathan Edwards says, no word is powerful as the Bible. No other book changes the heart of men. No other book. Is your heart changing? Every heart is changing in this room. Every heart is changing. Okay? How is it changing? How about your attitude toward your own spouse? How about your attitude toward your own job? Okay? Do you like your job? No. We're supposed to say no. I mean, that's like a given thing. We're supposed to hate working. No. No. That's an absolute lie. According to scripture, the job that he gives us is the very place God is sending us as missionaries. If you hate that, how are you going to shine the light of Jesus? Your mind needs to be changed and transformed through the scripture. Brothers and sisters, I just want to propose you need to look into his word for your heart to be changed, okay? And one more thing, no words awakens the conscience like the Bible. Okay, do you wanna be awakened, not growing old as a timid person? Open the scripture, okay? Here's the passage, Acts chapter 17 is a great chapter where Paul is in Europe, Europe continent. Remember that? Acts chapter 16. It was by the Spirit of living God. They wanted to stay in Asia Minor. Okay, Asia Minor, which is present Turkey. But Spirit of God sent them to Greece, Macedonia. Okay? Macedonian call. And it was the leading of the Holy Spirit, God himself. And for the first time in human history, Paul and Silas is in the Europe continent. Okay? They ended up in Philippi. What happened there? Do you remember? Philippi, they were imprisoned and they were locked up in a prison like this. Remember that? Because of the Jews. Because of the Jews. And this is the, this is what follows. So they get out of Philippi And they go to through a couple cities, and they ended up in a city called Thessalonica, which is a current present city. Did you know that, by the way, 30-some cities that is mentioned in the book of Acts are historical cities? Did you know that? Okay, let me just, you know, we don't think about things like that, but let me, okay. Just the historic, just to try to explain the historicity, validity, trustworthiness of the gospel. These cities could be traced. And Roman Empire, Greece, Turkey, Mediterranean Sea, Paul and Silas started in Antioch, right here, and Tarsus, where Paul is from, Cilicia, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Pisidian Antioch, and Perga and Attalia, and right here, Troas, right? And from Troas, they took a ship, and they ended up in Neapolis, and then Philippi, Apollonia, and Thessalonica. All historical cities. You're not listening to a myth. Okay? If you're thinking this is a myth, you're dreaming, daydreaming. This is a historical event. Paul and Silas, Timothy and Luke. What a team, right? They travel from one city to another and really preaching the gospel in the first century of the Roman Empire. Okay? That's how you need to visualize. Okay? So Paul went in, as was his custom, and three Sabbath days he reasoned with the Jews. Went into synagogue and he reasoned. I love that word. Are you reasonable? Am I reasonable? He reasoned. What does that word mean? Reasoned with the Jews. And this is what it means. From the scripture, explaining and proving, okay? Explaining and proving. Let me just explain these few words, okay? Reason means reason, discussion, speaking to someone in order to convince and persuade. Reasoning, dialogue. The word is dialogomai. Sounds like the word dialogue, right? We dialogue in the scripture, with the scripture. Okay? What does that mean? Explaining and proving. The word explain means, this is a cool word, if you could just listen to this, okay? Here's what it means. The meaning of this word is someone to, you help someone, enabling someone to perceive or understand. And the same word was used in Luke chapter 24. What is that chapter? Resurrected Jesus opened the eyes of the disciples who are on their way to Emmaus. And the scripture was opened, and Jesus explained that the scripture was written about him. And God opened the mind of these two disciples. So you know what reasoning is? Okay? Opening your minds. Opening your eyes. I was just thinking about this during this week as I study this word. Maybe on Sunday, as I am preaching right now, God will open your eyes. And I know he will do that. As I unfold, explain the scripture, maybe your eyes will be opened. You may be thinking, this is such a myth. Next week, I'm going to talk about evolution. Would you pray for me? Because Paul preaches about creation in Athens. Okay? And I'm gonna approach it. I've been studying for weeks now. I'm going to go toward origin of life, complexity of life, and the claim of Jesus. Pretty compelling arguments, okay? I'm not saying this will be a perfect way to persuade everybody, no. I don't know about that. But these are pretty compelling evidences. Origin of life. How did it all start? I started, my father bore me. How did he exist? My grandfather bore him. So you go back, and to what then? Amoeba? Where did amoeba come from? Nothing? You know what I mean? Origin of life. Complexity of life. Complexity of human DNA. Complexity of human proteins. Complexity of a human body. How could that be happening through mutations? You try to explain that to me. Right? And things like that. I'm going to try to deal with that next week. I'm going to try to explain. And as we do that, pray that your eyes may be open By the way, for those of you who did not know, still 40-some percent of Americans believe in creation. Okay, I only mention this because a lot of people think, and you may be thinking, we are such a minority and we need to hide and we need to give in. There is no way to do it, no way to fight evolution. Yes, there is, actually. Yes, there is. Especially if you believe in the validity and the reliability of resurrection and the scripture, you absolutely have a compelling evidence. Do you understand? Okay? So explain and to prove. And the word prove means present evidences and show it is true from the scripture. From the scripture, you could know where you are from, what you're living for, what is right and wrong, and where your destiny is. Can I just ask you, apart from God, do you know where you're going? Apart from God, where are you going? What's going to happen to your life? You turn 30, 40, you go to good college, okay, get a great job, profession, married, couple kids, raise your kids, and they get married, and they go to great schools. Okay, now you're 50, like myself, and then you turn 60s, 70s, I'm being generous, 80s, then what? Then what? Then what? Do you know? Then what? Right? Talking about origin, talking about meaning, talking about what is right and wrong, what do you live for? What do you spend money for? What do you study for? And the last question, where are you going? The destiny. Can you answer those? Apart from the revelation of God Himself. Can you? Right? So that's what He did. Okay? So explaining and proving that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and rise from the dead. And what did He preach? This Jesus. Okay? This is Thessalonica in Greece. This is not Palestine. There is no, you know, it's not Jewish world. It's a Roman world like America, and they're talking about Jewish Messiah. That's this Jesus, historical figure of Jesus, who came and died and resurrected, is the Messiah, and He is the Christ. And using the scripture, He proves that. And you could do that. Did you know that scripture says Christ must suffer and Christ must rise from the dead? Okay? Isaiah 53, for those of you who know that chapter. Psalm 22, okay? My God, why are you forsaking me? We were talking about this last night in Christianity Explored class. Jesus, God, hung on that tree and He cried out, my God, why are you forsaking me? Sounds so miserable and lonely and lost. But you know what? That was prophesied over 700 years ago. 700 years ago. Isaiah 53 was written over 700 years ago. Fulfilled. Despised by the people. When He was accused, He spoke not. He was rejected by His people. And He suffered. Hung on a tree. And God bore placed sin of yours upon Him. Written 700 years ago. Okay, Psalm 22 speaks about resurrection. Psalm 2, which was written over 700 years ago, that the Messiah must be resurrected. Written 700 years ago. Do you think that's coincident? Paul was explaining and reasoning with the people. This is the Messiah. This Jesus I'm proclaiming to you is the Messiah that we've been made waiting for. And He is God. Do you understand that? Some of them persuaded, joined Paul, as did great many of the devout Greeks. So it wasn't just the Jews, but Gentiles, Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. Listen to this. But always there is but, right? But the Jews were jealous and taking some wicked men of the rabble, the troublemakers. See what they do? They gather troublemakers and they form a mob. Always ganging up. That's what devil does all the time. Just ganging up on people. create a mob and attack God's man. Always the case. Okay? Set the city in an uproar and attack the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out of the crowd. So he had to run from Thessalonica to another city called Berea. Okay? So this is in Philippi. That was Thessalonica. Next city. Okay? Oh, I just want to share this, if you could. This is John MacArthur, one of the leading pastors that whom I respect and read pretty much all the time, share something like this. This is a white Caucasian man, and he says, hard preaching makes soft hearts. Soft preaching makes hard hearts. Let it sink in a little bit, okay? So, you know, we need to be able to reason with people. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but in your heart, honor Christ, the Lord as holy, and always be prepared, okay, to make an answer, to give an answer to anyone who asks you for reason for the hope that is in you. Can we talk about this? Think about this a little bit. Bible is saying you should be ready always to give a reason for the hope that you believe to anyone, okay, when someone asks you, with gentleness and respect. Fathers, I'm just asking the fathers, are you ready to give that to your child? What's the reason of hope, Daddy? Seriously, I want to ask this question. Mothers, okay, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, please. Are you ready to give this answer to your child? Mommy, what do I need to believe? What do I need to go to church? Are you ready to give an answer for the reason, for the hope that you have? I'm just asking you. How about when you go to work? People know you go to church and you need to get out by a certain time so you could get to church. And people know that you go to church and you're a Christian. And when people ask you, hey, Jimmy, can you tell me what is the hope? I mean, he's not being skeptic. Let's say, could you explain it to me? What's the hope? Could you explain to me what you believe so that I could have that hope too? And Bible is saying, always be ready. Is it an unreasonable thing? Or seriously, my brothers and sisters? You know, we made this gospel track not to, you know, there are a lot of good tracks out there. But, you know, we work on John 3:16 for like a month now. And it begins with God, and He's eternal, and He loves you. Wow, that's a good place to begin. That's where Christianity begins. That's where the gospel begins. Fathers, I really ask you to look into this. When your child, your own child, asks you, Daddy, why do I need to go to church? What do I need to believe? I mean, that's a reasonable thing to ask, isn't it? What's the hope? I feel like we are such an underdog in this world. I feel like I go to school and evolution and science just bully us, and I feel like I need to hide all the time. Daddy, what do I need to go to church? And we daddies ought to be able to be ready and give an answer. How about small group leaders? How about people, you know, who are older than you, right? Ask, hey, John, can you explain it to me? We should be ready. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is about resurrection. Resurrection chapter, entire chapter. Listen to this. This is Paul's argument. That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And he was buried and he was resurrected, raised on the third day according to the scripture. You know what he's saying? This is what he's saying. He's reasoning that the Messiah must suffer and must die and raise because that was the scripture. It's in the scripture. Scripture is open and explaining to me. That's why he's the Messiah. And the reason he had to do that was because of your sin. And he probably explained, knowing Paul, he loves you. Right? And he gave himself for you. And his great love is compelling me. You know, I think about why does he go back to the Jews again and again and again and again and again? You know why? His great love compelling his heart. We give up. I don't care about my people. I don't care about my family. I don't care about anyone. We give up. But his great love, Paul wrote, compels me to go back to the Jews, my own people. Lord, if you can, take my life, send me to hell, and save my people. Right? Brothers and sisters. Okay? So next day, left Thessalonica, they go to different city. Brothers immediately send Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went to Jewish synagogue. Like a stupid, he goes back to Jews again. They just try to kill him. And he goes back to his own people again. Now, these Jews were more noble, we'll look into this word, than those in Thessalonica. And they received the word with eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Wow, what a beautiful statement. I just pray that our church will become like Berean church. They received the word with eagerness. They were noble people, open-minded people, not skeptical people, already made up their mind. I'm not going to believe people, but really seeking people. Receiving the word of God with eagerness and examining. What does that word mean? We're going to look into that word, okay? And many of them, therefore, believed with not a few Greek women or high standing as well as men. But, again, always there's but. The truth of the matter is, same thing is true in this church too. Every church, okay? But when the Jews from the Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea, also, they came there. They actually came to the city and agitating and stirring the crowds. Again, stirring up the crowd. That's what people do, right? That's what Satan does. Always stirring up the people, right? And those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, which is what I'm going to be talking about next week. What's noble-minded? Okay? It means a commendable attitude, open-minded, without prejudice, comparative on more open-mindedness. Are you open-minded person? Are you reasonable? Or you already made up your mind? I'm just going to get through this service and I'm not going to come back here. I know there are people like that. Maybe not now. Are you an open-minded person? Okay. And they examined the word of God. Hannah Carino. Carino means judge. Carino means judge. Okay? In other words, lawyer, okay? Prosecutor. It means question, study carefully, and listen to this, sifting evidence in judicial hearing. Sifting. See if that's true. You should be sifting what I am preaching right now is from the scripture or not. You should be. Not to chop me down, not to embarrass me, but see if that's true. Because your whole life hangs on it. Your eternity hangs on it, right? Sifting evidence in judicial hearings and hold on a preliminary hearing, cross-examine, and investigate. Right? You know, last 2 weeks before the storm, I shared about scripture, whether a scripture is reliable or not. I don't know where you are, even after those preachings. If you are not sure, you should examine. If you're not sure, you should sift for the evidences. I personally think there is compelling, overwhelming evidences, but you may not be. Because maybe you missed it, Maybe you weren't there. Maybe that's not enough for you. So instead of just saying, I don't care, which I think it's really foolish, but I ask you to examine, because your whole life hangs on it. Your eternity hangs on it. Do you agree? Okay. I would love to work with you. If you ask me, Pastor Paul, could you send me some articles and readings and books? I'm going to ask you to watch that movie, okay? Case for Christ. Excellent movie. This person, who's a Yale Law School graduate and militant atheist, tried to prove that everything is phony. Resurrection, Jesus, he's an atheist. Try to prove that. He's a legal journalist, searching for the truth, looking for the truth, asking all the experts, scientists, right, medical doctors, and historian, archaeologist, 21 months gathering all the information, and at the end of his book, it really happened in his life, he said, man, I give up. God, I surrender. At least he searched, examined, investigated. What about you? I really encourage you to do that. Start with the books like that. And I have articles. There are good articles. Even evolution, okay? The origin of life. Destiny of life. Meaning of life. Right? You gotta search that, no? You just live like a mindless person? You can't do that. You can't do that. Right? I just want to share a few thoughts. Okay? Chapter 17 deals with three cities, Thessalonica, Berea, and Athens. We talked about two cities today, and next week we're going to talk about Athens. Athens is the capital city of Greece, right? And there is Areopagus, great temple, and Paul preaches about creation and God of the universe in front of all these philosophers and challenging them to repent. Oh my God. I ask you to look into that. And what I ask you to think about is Paul never lost his passion for his people. Do you agree? He never lost his love and passion for his people. Jews continue to give him hard time, trouble. In fact, they were jealous. They accused him. They ganged up on him. They opposed him. They formed a mob, and they drew accused of treason, tried to kill, stoned him, imprisoned him. He did all of these, yet Paul goes back to his people and try to reason, explain, and prove that Jesus that he proclaims is the Messiah, and he loves you. He is the Messiah who came, and he loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20, he already wrote that by this time. He's not just giving like information. He loves you, brothers and sisters. Right? How did he do that, right? Paul always tried to reason and explain and prove that Jesus is the Messiah using the scripture. You know, without the scripture, you won't be able to do that. If you aspire to reach the people, you need to study. You need to study the Word of God, brothers and sisters. You need to study the Word of God. Starting next week, we are planning to change our prayer time from morning to evening. Monday through Thursday. Friday we are off because a lot of small groups and house church, whatever, right? CE. And Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. We are changing it so that you would come from 8 o'clock to 9:30 in the evening after work. You have an option. You stay home and you could rest. Spend time with your family and do whatever you need to do. That's fine. But you have an option. You could come and from 8 to 9 o'clock you could read the Word of God or pray. And from 9 o'clock to 9:30, we're going to pray together as a church. If you read the scripture for an hour, right, with your alert mind, you can read a lot, actually. I saw my friend Harry reading entire Gospel of Mark in 1 hour. Twice he read it. in within 24 hours. And the book of Matthew. You could do that, you know. Okay? You got to, study the Word of God if you want to reason with people. What did he preach? He preached this: Jesus, I proclaim to you, is Messiah. What did he preach? He preached about his great love. What's the cross? It is about great love of God. Right? What else did he preach? That he was raised. He preached about his great power. Do you know about his great love and great power? Remember the verse that we began with in the beginning? God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power and love and sound mind. Power, dunamis, and love, agapao, and sound mind. Do you desire that? Seek the scripture, right? Secondly, I think when you look at a chapter like this, it's rather clear that Paul and Silas and work of the Lord always have fruits, listen to this, and always have a severe opposition. Do you see it? So don't be surprised. I am not surprised anymore. There's always fruits, and there's always mob of people. I'm just explaining this to you. There's always fruits. God ordained people. You know, God ordains his people. God prepares his people. And they turn to Christ and follow Paul and Silas. And then there is always people who are jealous and form a mob. I just pray, I'm really pray that you're hearing what I'm sharing right now. Because I know if you're awake right now, you'll be thinking, where do I belong? Right? Where do I belong? And you should. You should. Okay? Just one more. Can we be the people of God like the people of Berea and have a noble-minded, open-mindedness and examine the scripture together? Your life hangs on it. Really, your life hangs on it. Your eternity hangs on it. It really does, actually. The way it works is this. When God gives you a new heart, you would have a great desire for him. That's primarily through his word. That's how it works. Right? That's how you love him. How else would you love him? My brothers and sisters, it begins with God. He's eternal and he loves you. I could say this confidently again and again and again. And I'm planning to say this until I can do no more. Okay? It begins with God. He's eternal and he loves you. Okay? Let's pray.